Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Chronically Positive Podcast. I'm your host, Isla Oxman, and this is the show where we celebrate resilience, creativity, and the incredible ways people with chronic illnesses turn their challenges into opportunities. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Tyler Cheviak, one of the creators behind the Fig app, the leading food scanner and discovery app designed for dietary restrictions and food allergies. Tyler isn't just a trailblazer in the tech world. He's also navigating the complexities of living with a chronic illness, including mast cell activation syndrome and food sensitivities. From transforming his personal health challenges into a groundbreaking app to empower countless individuals to eat safely and confidently, Tyler's story is one of innovation and determination. Stick around for an inspiring conversation you won't want to miss. And don't forget to follow, rate, and subscribe. It really helps get the podcast out to people who would really benefit from these stories. Thank you, Tyler, for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I love talking to people who turn their challenges into a career. I just think it's the coolest thing. And having a chronic illness, there isn't always so much you can do, but the tools you have are really the best things. And you have created such an amazing tool for people with food allergies and food sensitivities and chronic illnesses. And I just think that's amazing.
Yeah, thanks so much for the kind words. It's definitely something that we created because we needed it ourselves. The entire Fig team lives with various chronic illnesses, food allergies, health conditions, and is a big source of inspiration for why we put in all the hours that we do, and sometimes leads to more symptoms, but definitely trying to keep those in balance, and it definitely keeps us grounded and home.
I'm sure. So when did you start the process of creating this app?
Yeah, so it all started in 2019 or so. And I have a pretty funny story for working with the Fig team. I was building my own app. They were building a browser extension at the time. I discovered them on Reddit. I saw a post from this guy named Andrew, who's like, I made this tool to show you everything you can eat with all these restrictions. And I'm like, okay. There are a number of these tools out there. And so I gave it a try and I saw that I was able to select citric acid as one of the restrictions on their tool. And I was like, all right, they know what they're doing. Nobody else has made any app where I can put in my citric acid intolerance and have that work, except my app that I'm building right now.
Right.
So I reached out to him. Turns out he actually grew up in the same state as me, North Carolina.
Wow.
And I made a 28-page pitch deck on why we should work together, just like a Google Slides presentation.
That's awesome.
I was like, I'm not a competitive person. I just need this to exist. I'm not here to get rich. Like, I just want to solve this problem for people. Over the next few months, I was working my corporate job at the time. Every hour outside of that, I was working with them, kind of building our very initial product, which led to a couple flare-ups of my symptoms.
I'm sure.
It was the best time. Just being able to work on something so near and dear to me with other people, because it was just really isolating doing it alone, really overwhelming. We built that for probably about a year before we ever did any kind of marketing, telling the world about it. And it's, since then we've been able to grow to over 1 million people on the app and just get to continually improve it, solve more problems every day. And it's really been a really awesome process.
That's so cool. It's funny, citric acid is one of my no-nos too. And it's in a lot of food that you wouldn't think it is in. A ton. It's like,
I actually did I did a bit of an analysis back of the napkin calculation based on our database. And I think it was 21% of products in America had citric acid just back of the napkin.
Oh my gosh, that's so many. There's so many things that I can't have that I just feel like they just don't need to be in foods. And it's so frustrating. Yeah. Actually, I have POTS, and a lot of the electrolyte mixes have citric acid. Almost all of them, literally.
Yes.
It's absurd. Okay, so I kind of want to rewind a little bit to before you started this app. I kind of want some background on, how we got there, all the the hardship and how you were inspired, you know, with your diagnosis and all of that.
Yeah, definitely. So I come from a family of people who have various health issues. Going back multiple generations, actually, my great-grandmother had EOE, eosinophilic esophagitis. Oh. My grandmother has IBS. My mom has rheumatoid arthritis, celiac disease, and a number of food allergies. And both my brother and my dad have to avoid gluten. But all my issues started in around 2009 or so when I was in middle school. I could eat pretty much anything I wanted as a kid, except chocolate for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, I just started feeling horrible. And I couldn't eat anything. I was vomiting all the time. I had to call out of school probably 15 times just because I don't want to go into too many details, but I just had horrible symptoms. And I ended up just like, it was like my gut was just telling me, like, stop eating gluten. And mind you, this was 2009. That was not something that was really discussed back then.
It wasn't trending yet.
No, it seemed like my brain made some kind of connection between like bread and feeling horrible.
Yeah.
So I took that out and I started feeling a bit better. I was able to, you know, still live life, still felt horrible with my GI symptoms and overall malaise. Took out corn as well. And that's when I really started seeing some benefit. And corn, which you may know, is in so many things. And it's mostly the derivatives that are the issue.
Yeah.
It's thousands of ingredients. And, you know, way back in the day, I was just having to, you know, go on these small, like, corny blogs and learn all about the ingredients I needed to avoid, like citric acid being one of them. Corn is everybody's favorite citrus, right? Yeah, it was just it was a struggle being a kid that had to all of a sudden avoid all these different foods. You know, my friends would make fun of me, learn that they're not actually my friends. You know, just kind of something that I dealt with. I mean, even in college, like, I didn't really want to tell people about it. And it affected, you know, my social life, you know, going out to dining halls, people are looking at my plate. I mean, like, why aren't you getting a dessert? Why aren't you eating this cake? Like, here, it's like your birthday party. You don't even have a cake here. Like, why are we eating like chips or whatever? It's just, it was really hard to deal with that. And I always wanted to make some kind of solution to help other people like me. One, just kind of find joy in food again. Two, knowing that they're not alone. And three, just making their lives easier and even safer. I can't even tell you how many reactions I've had over the years from misreading ingredient labels. Because, you know, some of them are very long. There are a lot of just confusing words on there. Like, you might not know that modified food starch can actually be from corn. It's hard to memorize. Right? I probably couldn't even list out all of the different derivatives of corn off the top of my head in a day because there's so many.
I'm learning. I did not know that. And corn is a big no-no on my list. So it looks like I need to do some reading.
And that's, you know, kind of where our app comes in too, where we, you know, we've worked with dietitians who have gone through literally every single ingredient that exists in our food supply and has looked at our list of every diet allergy intolerance and said whether that works or not, and added a note on, you know, details that you need to know. So for something like that, you can just tap on modified food starch and see an explanation relevant to corn, which I, you know, use a lot. It's really helpful.
Yeah.
And anytime I have to try a new diet out, like low histamine or low FODMAP, for example, or anti-inflammatory, it's really nice to know that I have the guide there and all the backings from the dietitians we've worked with, like low histamine. We worked with the foremost histamine expert who lives in Australia to build that one. So it's just really cool to have that accessible.
That's really cool. I've tried all of those diets that you have mentioned.
Many MCAS, of us have.
Yeah, MCAS is probably in the last 6 months has been at the forefront of all my chronic illnesses, and it is just, it has been so difficult. My, like you said, finding joy in food, it has been a sad time with eating. It's hard. It's like, I feel like I'm eating the same thing every single day. So apps like this, oh my God. Like I said, I love tools so much because it's so hard to deal with this stuff. And when you have something that just organizes it and just makes it easy for you to do, it's just chef's kiss. So good.
Thanks. Yeah. And I'll say too, like, we're well aware that we have not solved every problem yet. And we're super motivated to go do that. And like, for example, restaurants, we've actually been working for the last year on a restaurants feature, which basically can show you the ones that are most likely to fit around you to really help for those spur of the moment social occasions. And even if you're at home, you know, it's hard to do research on these restaurants and calling them and asking all these detailed questions. We literally have people going boots on the ground to restaurants, asking them all kinds of difficult questions, inspecting the kitchen, getting that information. And then you make a profile and you say, like, I need an ingredient list available. Mm-hmm. I need a dedicated gluten-free fryer. And we're able to just show you the restaurants most likely to work for you. And eventually we'll have, hopefully, a lot of restaurants giving us ingredient data as well. So we can filter all that down and show you the best dishes for you, and then tackling things like recipes too.
I love that. I usually call a new restaurant before, if I've ever gone to one before, and I hate it. I hate calling. I hate calling asking about ingredients. It just causes me so much anxiety. So yeah. I'm very excited for that feature so I don't have to talk to anyone.
Glad to hear that. Yeah, I'm an introverted person myself. And I mean, even when I'm there in person, I really just want to be eating a dish that I know is going to work for me regardless of, you know, any miscommunication.
Yes.
And to know going to that restaurant that other people have fared very well there. So just trying to eliminate all the stress that we possibly can from the dining experience. Yes, of course, if you have an allergy, you'll still need to tell the staff that you have an allergy so they can prepare it well. But doing everything that we can to make your life easier is the goal.
Yeah. Do you have TGIF on the West Coast?
I grew up on the East Coast, so I'm familiar with what it is, but I haven't seen them out here.
So they only cook with soybean oil and like won't, as of 3 years ago, won't adapt for people with allergies, which I think is wild. So that's one place I can never, ever eat at again.
Yeah. There are a number of restaurants like that. And like I have, you know, my gluten intolerance, I have celiac friends as well. There's just so many things that matter to each person that I'm still learning. And another, you know, audience that I've spoken to is the alpha gal crowd. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with alpha gal syndrome.
I'm not.
But you develop it from a tick bite. And
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it makes you allergic to mammalian ingredients.
Yes.
And we, you know, had calls with a few AlphaGal members, and the airborne fumes from even being within hundreds of feet of like a barbecue restaurant, for example, is enough for anaphylaxis for some people. And just learning about all these different things and like, you know, their success rate of eating out is like 50%. Anaphylaxis. Yeah. And they're
That's
like
really
having
scary.
To go to restaurants and saying like, you need to use a new pan. You need to put aluminum foil over the food because the fat molecules that are in the air can land on my food. And fat is what carries the alpha gal. Sugars, I think they are. Things like that. It's just, it's so much of a burden. And I just want to help as many people as I possibly can have to deal with these things.
And then how can you even trust that the person preparing it did everything correctly? That is, it seems very difficult. Wow.
I consider myself lucky many days.
I now do as well. That's really difficult. That's really scary. Wow. I'm learning so much. You mentioned about mold toxicity and how that's not talked about a lot. I'm very interested in talking about that.
Yeah, definitely. I think I have actually been dealing with mold toxicity since 2009 when my issues first started. And I look back at my historical timeline and it makes a lot of sense. My family had a pretty rundown beach house that we'd go to. It smelled musty when you'd go in there.
Musty, mold.
Musty almost always equals mold.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
And I dealt with, you know, those issues for a while. I have also since learned that some people just lack the gene that helps clear out biotoxins from your body. So once you get biotoxins in you, it's really hard to get it out. It gets recirculated in your bile. And I started putting the pieces together when actually last year I was living in my place out here, and we started seeing mold appear. There was a tropical storm in California, which is like a once in a 100-year event, and tons of humidity. I started seeing mold grow everywhere. Even my guitar, which is like plastic, had mold growing on the outside. Like clothes had mold. It was terrifying. I didn't really know the health impacts of mold at that point. And, you know, it's something where any doctor I had talked to before was like, oh, yeah, that's not known to cause any, like, long-term symptoms. The most important thing is just to get away from the mold. And even my allergists within the last year, who was a pretty esteemed allergist, was like, oh, we only follow, like, what we've seen research on. And I'm like, why in my lease agreement did I have to sign to 10 pages about mold specifically if it doesn't cause any health issues? But anyways,
that surprises me so much.
Yeah, we saw lots of mold. Within the next few months, my health issues just started declining even further. So I was already dealing with the number. I had reflux 24/7. My SIBO just got really bad. Brain fog got horrible. And I was just like, what is going on? So I went to the allergist, as mentioned, didn't go the best. They're just like, yep, it's your MCAS. I'm like, okay, yeah. In many ways, MCAS feels kind of just like a blanket diagnosis. And there might be something under that. And somebody on the FIG team, thank goodness he was looking into this, was like, yeah, I think it might actually be mold that you're dealing with too, mold toxicity. I looked into it myself. I've been seeing functional medicine doctors. I've spent over $10,000 doing this research to figure out what's going on. And I've been doing treatment for it, and I actually feel better. And I was like, there's no way mold can be doing that, right? Because, like, yeah, we are just like, when we grow up, you wouldn't think that could cause food sensitivities. Just like the stuff growing on old bread is causing food sensitivities. But I read a book, Toxic, by Neil Nathan, who's kind of like the expert in this space. And my eyes were just opened to what it could be. And finally worked up the courage to spend, I think it was $350 or so on a mycotoxin test. And I'm so glad I did that, because I just felt so validated when I got the results back. And it showed you're at 6 times the normal level of 3 different mycotoxin strains. And it's causing these symptoms. And I'm like, oh my God, that is literally what I'm dealing with and have dealt with all these years. And it's like constellation of symptoms, right? Like MCAS, brain fog, food sensitivities, just having a overall, like, very sensitive nervous system. Like, I've always been ticklish. I've even equated my ticklishness to this now.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
It's just, like, it's mind-blowing how many how many bodily systems get impacted by this. I'm so glad I learned that, and I've started the process of treating it now, which is very... very long process, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but I kind of feel like it's my duty now to go out and tell other people about it. I have obviously no financial interest in that game. I'm not selling mold testing kits or anything.
Yeah.
But just knowing that that can be a root cause and being able to I guess, open people's eyes to that and help them. It does feel like my duty now.
Absolutely. And oh my God, my thought just fully just left. Brain fog. So were you able to terminate your lease? Like, how did that go for you?
Yeah, luckily California is pretty renter friendly where I live.
And, okay, good.
Our landlord was, I think they knew everything that might come their way if we start approaching them about the mold legally. And they were like, feel free to break the lease whenever you want. You can go ahead and leave as long as you don't sue us after. Because I actually, on my softball team, there's a lawyer on there. And he was like, you could do a really big case about this.
Right.
I could. Yeah, I liked them. I think they were good people. But yeah, it's been a huge financial burden for me. And also just like, you know, happiness wise, I've had some really, really, the darkest days of my life have been in the last year as I've dealt with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you are clearing out the mycotoxins from your body as well, your symptoms actually increase because you can't get them out of, you know, your excretory pathways fast enough, they get reabsorbed.
Oh.
And like, it just led to, yeah, really dark times.
I'm sure. I'm sorry to hear that. But I'm so glad that you were able to, you know, be a detective and figure this out. And I'm really glad that you're sharing it here. It's really important. You mentioned in the little thing that you sent me that you lived in a tent. Sorry, I'm totally going somewhere else. But you lived in a tent in Hawaii?
Yeah. After I graduated college, I had a job lined up that was going to start in October.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated in May, June time. And I had heard about this, I guess it's a website called Workaway, where you can just go do odd jobs in exchange for housing all over the world. Because my friend lives in the Swiss Alps working on a farm. I was like, that sounds incredible.
And wow.
I don't have any money. I'm, you know, a recent grad, nothing else to do. Let's go to Hawaii. So there was a farm on Oahu on the slopes of Koko Crater, which is on the east side, and literally lived in a tent out there with my best friend for 2 months. We grew random things on the farm, like winged beans and sweet potatoes. And they had some animals there, like chickens. So just got to kind of learn a lot about the food system, honestly, how things are grown, and really just give my body that feeling of just, I guess, what living like primally is, almost like what our ancient ancestors did. My symptoms, by the way, were nowhere to be seen at that point. I still had to avoid, you know, gluten, corn, these other things. But a lot of these, like, I guess, more variable symptoms, like brain fog and reflux, I didn't even think of myself as chronically ill at that point, which is amazing. I'm just kind of living off the land.
What a feeling.
Yeah, what a feeling, right? I think it deserves that kind of experience. And I mean, money-wise, right? I didn't have to pay for anything, really, because we were growing our food. It was just getting the flight out there, living on the farm, eating the food. And we would, you know, be very frugal, like just bum rides with people to the beach. And yeah, it was a really awesome time being able to do that.
I don't know why, but the internet on my other computer cut out. It's always something.
We're used to it, though, right? This is just another day in the life.
What is going on? Why is everything falling over? Okay. Wow. So the odds of me remembering the last thing you said are very slim. It's gonna be tough going back to what you were talking about.
Well,
Do you remember?
Have to say the same. We both have a brain fog.
This is like one of the hard things about
Hawaii.
Yes,
Hawaii.
We were in Hawaii. Ah,
yes.
Yes, I wish. Okay. it was amazing and you didn't have, your symptoms were better. So cool. Speaking of, now I'm going on a tangent. I'm going to Italy. I'm very excited about potentially being able to tolerate some more things. I'm going to be a little bit experimental, which might not be a great idea, but we're staying in one place the whole time. So if I have a day where I don't feel well, I'm willing to try a few things if I don't feel good.
Awesome. I've been to Italy a few times, actually. I used to live in Europe as well. Didn't mention that one. But Italy, never had a reaction there, thankfully. They're quite good with gluten, I will say. They are very good with gluten. And a lot of them use corn as a substitute. But just generally, I mean, like, I even tolerated corn there, which is just really a strange feeling. I think part of it is your nervous system is a lot more calm when you're out there and you're traveling and you're walking a lot. Yeah. Yes, it might have to do with the ingredient quality and their food system. And you know, us MCAS people, we could be reacting to literally anything. Right. Probably things we don't even know of. Yeah.
Exactly. Like yourself, myself. I react to myself.
Yeah exactly. Can't look in the mirror too long or else.
Yep.
But yeah, and I mean, they care a lot about the, I guess, quality of their food.
Yeah.
So that is definitely something that's in your favor. And their packaged goods, they have a lot more regulations on them than
people. Yeah. So was it hard coming back to the States? Like, was your body like, no? Or was it okay, the adjustment?
Yeah, so I lived in Europe for about a year for work. And when I came back to the States, I had symptoms for a few weeks during my, I guess, readjustment period back to our food. I will say it was during a really stressful time. I had to come back for COVID reasons where it was really bad there. And it was like, I think, February of 2020. And America hadn't really started talking about it too much. So, yeah, it was a really stressful time because I was at work one day. It was probably 2 p.m. and they were like, how quickly can you leave the country and go back home? I was like, I suppose by the morning if I had to. And they were like, all right, go pack everything up. I had to pack up my entire apartment and get rid of stuff, give it away within a few hours. Luckily, I traveled very light. I only went there with a backpack and one checked bag. So it wasn't as hard as it could have been, but it was a pretty stressful period dealing with all of that. And I've always had trouble on international flights actually being able to eat food. And at that time, I was able to have like peanuts as a source of protein. But I always try not to have those on flights, even if they don't make the announcement of somebody having an allergy. Just because, like, one, I don't even think to tell, you know, them because it's not anaphylactic when I have to do it in my body. But I just don't want to risk that. Just being in a metal tube for 12 hours, just having like that risk be there.
Yeah. I think it's wild that peanuts being like such a lot of people who have the allergy, a very aggressive allergy, and just how a lot of it is like an airborne thing. The fact that they are handed out on airplanes blows my mind, because if someone were to have such a severe reaction thousands of feet up in the air, like, how does that make any sense?
Please pick something else. And on that flight specifically, I couldn't put in a meal request for a gluten-free meal in time, which usually barely even worked for me anyways. So I just didn't have food and I didn't have time to go buy snacks. So my food on this 12-hour flight was butter. I ate the sticks of butter on the plane.
Your poor stomach must have been so upset after.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a good experience.
I have a very similar, so before I knew I had MCAS, before it was like really bad, I just basically cut out corn, gluten, dairy, potatoes, just like the inflammatory foods. Because my body was covered in these white spots. My doctors thought that I had vitiligo. It was the weirdest thing. And then they're like, there's like this fungus that can like cause the dyspigmentation, but I went on every single medication to get rid of funguses. It never worked. It didn't go away until I cut out all those foods. But my brother was studying abroad in Amsterdam, and I visited him my sophomore year of college, and I never really gone abroad alone. Didn't think about, you know, getting food that I should eat because I was fairly new to this new diet. And everything had gluten and dairy, and I didn't have a choice but to eat it. And I was so sick. I told him, like, is there anything, there's got to be something, like, that I could eat. Like, is there anything that doesn't have gluten or dairy in it? And they brought me, like, three strawberries. Literally three strabberries on a 9-hour flight.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, is it, like, there had to have been something else. Like, it just felt like a joke. So, yeah.
I feel like we need to make that a thing on social media just to understand people's, like, just saddest airplane meals with their
seriously doctor. Or like there needs to be, there's so many things like when it comes to flying with a chronic illness, and I'm trying to prep, like, because this is my first time flying internationally since, you know, I've gotten really sick with POTS, Ehlers-Danlos, and MCAS, and so there are so many things. I flew to Florida in November and had an entire suitcase of food because my list of things I can eat is kind of like 20 things, and there I can only get them at certain grocery stores, so it had to come with me, a whole entire suitcase full of food. And I wasn't sure if it was going to go through, but as long as you have like a tag that says medically necessary on it, they don't really question what's in there. So, but
that's,
I can't,
nice at least.
Except, so I flew to Florida and it was fine, but then when I tried to come back from Florida to DC, they're like, you can't fly with all of this food. So I guess it varies. Yeah. So I definitely need tips on like traveling food wise. I don't, even if like they prepared a meal for me where I told them all my allergies, I still don't think I could eat it if the, you know, airline prepared the food for me. That scares me.
Yeah. And it's also just like, you know, the risk of it, right? Like if I were at home or staying in a place for multiple weeks straight, maybe I'm willing to take a risk here.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a metal tube, 30,000 feet in the sky, like there are just certain things I don't really want to do.
I really don't want to use an EpiPen thousands of feet up in the sky. I really don't want to.
Yeah. No.
I really don't. Yeah, that's terrifying. I do think one of my, I don't know if they're irrational fears, one of my biggest fears is like having an allergic reaction in a place that's just not convenient at all.
Yeah, I feel like there's probably something that we can do around that as well. Just making people always feel empowered. Definitely, of course, always have your EpiPens, plural, with you. But yeah, I think just giving additional confidence on top of that might be something that we think about.
Yeah, for sure. I think I need to practice eating out more and just advocating for myself better because I used to love eating out. I hate it. I truly do. So again, I'm very excited for this restaurant feature on the Big App.
That's our exact mission, right? And that's what our team is saying right now ourselves, of like eating out is just like such a burden right now. And it's so hard to be social. I feel bad in many cases. I feel like I'm holding other people back. I don't want that to be the case. And I think we can help a lot. And like, you know, there are places out here where I never even knew about it until like a gluten-free content creator would tell me about it. If you're watching this, Malia, thank you for introducing me to Nectarine Grove. That place has changed my life. But I just want to have that feeling of discovery for everybody where it's like, oh my gosh, like, sure, there may only be two restaurants in this city that are willing to go to that level of their ingredient quality, transparency, accommodating me. But two restaurants, like, to somebody like us, is incredible. Like,
that's a big deal.
All of my business, I'll go there every weekend. That's amazing. So just matching people with those places and also creating demand for those places. Mm-hmm. So more restaurants start to be more accommodating, and also just providing them the guidance that they may need to be able to manage allergies better, like giving them training telling them what actually appeals to people with dietary restrictions and even just a general healthy crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would appreciate being able to see ingredients that are available at restaurants and just knowing like what's in what I'm actually trying to eat here. That solves 80% of my worry with your meal.
I wish that was mandatory. I went to a barbecue place and they just didn't have a list of any of the ingredients in their barbecue sauces. And then like, we don't even know what's in them. They just had no access to any of it. And I was like, that's so sad.
I've had it before too, where they have the ingredient booklet and they're like, all right, what do you need to avoid? And I'm like, can I look at it? Like, and I can just tell you. And they're like, no, like we can't show you our proprietary recipes. I'm like, I don't care if you put like onions and garlic into this thing, other than I will have a horrible reaction if I do have that.
And I don't trust you to read that correctly, sir.
I literally just stood up and walked away. I was like, I'm not eating here. Yeah. Like, I don't want to give you my business. I don't know if I can eat here. I can't go through my list of 1,500 ingredients that might contain corn or gluten for you.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, what can't you have? And I'm like, I can't give that list. Like, I don't even know.
The other way around.
You know, I can't even think of everything I can't have. It's just as long as I see the ingredients and I don't see one of them, I'm good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how it is for me as well.
The panic whenever someone asks me, so what are you allergic to? I'm like, I can't tell you that. I don't even know, honestly.
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out every day. And then it's a scale too. Some of them are much worse than others. And it's like some develop, some go away. Some, if I'm in a really stressful period of my life, I have them.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that for you. I'll send you my fig profile, though. That's the closest bet.
That's a really good idea. It's better if I send you all the things I can eat, because that list is shorter than the things that I can't eat.
Yeah. And that was a big impetus. I feel so smart when I use a big word. That was a big impetus for the discovery feature on Fig. So when you first get onto the app, you put in all of your dietary restrictions, you're able to see to the ingredient level all of the things that you need to restrict, whether that's like pea protein, citric acid, like we've talked about. We have over 2,900 ingredients. It'll find everything in the world of food that matches all of your needs and show it to you. And you can filter by store, by category. And we really want that to feel like a magical experience and to be really helpful. And for when you need something like a pasta sauce, you don't have to go to Google and do an impossible search of gluten-free, corn-free, citric acid-free, onion-free pasta sauce.
And then you break go on the search thing. Engine. Yeah.
Yeah. Google, you can't even handle that one.
No.
You just go on to Fig and type pasta sauce, and we've already got that handled for you. And I think that's really cool. Is it perfect? No. I'm sure there's tons more that we can do there to keep making it better and better. But it is really awesome to know that it's just going to help me find products that actually are going to work for me, and I don't have to stress about that and do impossible Google searches.
No, I will tell you, it is a magical experience, because I think in college, when I first started cutting foods out, there was this one app that was like this organic grocery store, and you just like put in all your allergies. And I was like, there is not enough options here. Like with Fig, there's not one thing that I have that isn't listed on the Fig app, which is huge, because things that I thought that I couldn't have, I thought were very, you know, niche, but you have all the niche stuff. So it's really great. It is a magical experience. So
thank you. Yeah, it's a personal point of pride of ours to cover even the most seemingly uncommon and niche dietary restrictions. And we'll be reached out to all the time from different communities. Like, for example, the AlphaGal community. One of their community leaders got in touch with us, and we were like, oh my gosh, like, we had maybe heard a little bit about this. We would love to add this to our app to help support you. And, you know, eosinophilic esophagitis, oral allergy syndrome, latex allergy, nickel allergy. we have just this long list of really niche ones, but people that are going through a ton of challenges, and we know it can be life-changing for them. And you know, we really want them to have that I feel seen experience. That's just, it means the world to us that we're able to have that impact on people.
It's so great. It really does. It does like lift this weight off. When I saw oral allergy syndrome on there, I got really excited because I never occurred to me like that that's something that I would have to like click that could like benefit me in trying to find foods that I can eat because I have oral allergy syndrome.
Interesting. So. Yeah, that's a really common one where people, they see like birch pollen. They're like, wait, that impacts food? And like latex allergy. They're like, hold on a second. Like that can actually like be what's causing this?
I learned because of the fig. I learned about
really
all of that. No, I didn't. Like, as far as like my oral allergy syndrome goes, I just can't really have raw pitted fruits. Like, well, I guess apples don't have pits, but like peaches and plums and
stone fruits.
Yeah, that's a better way of saying it. But if they're cooked, it's fine. Wow. Okay, we are kind of at time. Before we go, anything else you'd like to plug, mention?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So we're building out our restaurants feature. The biggest part of that is getting reviews from the community. Mm-hmm. So we can find what other people who have to avoid corn and gluten and all these other dietary restrictions, what places they love and how they fare.
Yeah.
Their reviews are really powering that experience, plus our own team doing inspections. We have an application to become restaurant contributor, where you can help leave reviews and help unlock new cities for that.
Awesome.
And that's something that we're accepting contributors for right now. It's a really exciting program to be able to do that, get compensated for eating. We also have a petition, the Every Ingredient petition. We have over 55,000 signatures on it, and this is to end the use of vague ingredients like natural flavors and spices on ingredient labels.
Yes, thank you.
Basically, right now, I don't know if I can eat a product that has natural flavors in it, and if it contains something that I'm sensitive or allergic to.
Yep.
Because we have all these loopholes, and we're just garnering support amongst the community to really just end the use of this and convince manufacturers that you should stop using these terms. And it's awesome. We've actually been able to convince a few to not use natural flavors. And, you know, they reached out to us and we're like, wow, yeah, we didn't even realize this was like a concern amongst consumers. But your petition made that really clear. So the bigger that one gets, the better. And if there are any medical providers that are watching this, clinicians of any sort, we have patient resources about the Fig app. If you want to get, you know, different printouts for your office, give extended trials to people that are seeing you, you can go to our website. I think we'll put the link in the show notes as well, just to be able to help support your patients as they're outside of the office and in the grocery aisles and restaurants, kind of navigating their new dietary restrictions.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I feel like I've learned so much in this hour.
I can hear that.
I'm feeling very motivated to look into this mold stuff now as well, because I don't need anything else attacking my body.
It's obviously you're, you know, facing the like just wall, the big mental burden of having to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's been worth it for me. It was a little hard to tolerate the treatment at first, being super gradual with it.
Yeah.
But I just have a lot of renewed hope around everything health related and life related again. And it feels really good. And if anyone out there is going through something similar, be it MCAS, you think it might be mold, I'm happy to help in any way. If you want to DM me, I think we're also linking my account on here.
Put it
here. Yeah. Please tell me, please do DM me. Again, it's a personal point of just passion to help other people. I keep feeling like I have these duties sent from above, of like building Fig, helping people with mold toxicity, helping people find restaurants. So I'm happy to help in any way that I can.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. You're a wealth of knowledge. This was really fun. It was really fun talking to you.
Yeah, you as well. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Chronically Positive Podcast. I hope Tyler's journey of resilience and innovation has left you feeling inspired and empowered. If you enjoyed today's episode, I'd love it if you could take a moment to rate, follow, and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. Your support helps us reach even more listeners who can benefit from these stories. We have one episode left, and I have saved a really awesome guest for the last episode. It is going to be in person. So excited. For more information about how you can get involved with the FIG app, how to download the app, and all the great things Tyler and I discussed, check out the description below. We'll have all the links and all the information you need. And I'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts about this episode in the comments below, or let me know what you'd like to hear about in the future. Until next time, remember that your journey matters, and I'll see you back here for another inspiring episode soon.